All right, turn to Isaiah chapter 6. And we're in a series called The Key to Everything. Isaiah chapter 6, The Key to Everything. And we've talked about that the key to everything is giving. Now, I want to remind you, I said this the first week of the series, that we're talking about the action key, not the subject key. In other words, the subject of the Bible is Jesus. There's no doubt about that. Jesus is the key to everything. But the action key is giving. Because God gave His Son, and the way we come into relationship with His Son is to give our lives to Him. And then everything in our life flows from that attitude of giving. And remember that giving affects two major areas of our lives, and that's relationships and resources. So I asked you last week when we talked about the key to everything, I asked you a question, and it seemed like just about everyone could relate to this. I asked you, have you ever had a key made, and then when you got to your home or your car for that key, did it not work? And everyone seemed to agree, yes, I've had a key made and it didn't work. Okay, well, I have another question for you, and I'd like for you to raise your hand, all right? South Lake and North Richland Hills. Good morning, North Richland Hills. So I'd like for you to raise your hand, and I think two or three of you will probably raise your hand on this, all right? Have you ever lost your keys? Wow, more than two or three. I knew that. All right, but here's the point. What if there was someone that was constantly trying to hide your keys? I said that last night, Saturday night, and a woman did like this to her husband. So if that is you, by the way, if you have that problem, we do have freedom ministry for your husband. What if you had someone that was constantly trying to steal your keys? Okay. What if there are some keys in this book to abundant life? Obviously, there's a key to eternal life. That's Jesus and finding Jesus, giving your life to Jesus. But what if there's a key to abundant life? And is it possible that someone is trying to hide or steal that key from you? Well, everyone knows John 10:10. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I want you to notice, I've come that you might have life. That's referring to eternal life. And I've come that you might have abundant life. The way that we have eternal life is to give our life to Jesus. How do we have abundant life? Give your life to Jesus. Every day, constantly. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. That relates to eternal life. But he also said this, I die daily. That relates to abundant life. So I want to show you in Isaiah chapter 6, a revelation, a vision that Isaiah had. And I want to talk to you about giving through this, all right? Isaiah chapter 6, look at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. That's just a big word for angels and angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So God shows up at church. Verse 5. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He sees God. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs, with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, this is a real famous verse, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Notice the Trinity in that verse. Whom shall I send? One of them is speaking, and who will go for us? Plural. Then I said, Here am I, send me. Okay, here's a vision. Isaiah goes to church and God shows up. And he has this vision. He sees God. But I want to show you three aspects of this vision and talk about those three, all right? First of all, he had an upward vision. He saw the Lord. He had an inward vision. He saw himself. And then he had an outward vision. He saw others. He had an upward vision. He saw God. He had an inward vision. He saw himself. He had an outward vision. He saw others. So remember the words up, in, and out, because that's the title of the message today. Here's the title: giving up, giving in, and giving out. Giving up, giving in, and giving out. And I think there's an order here that we have to understand. So here's number one, point number one, giving up. What does it mean to give up? Do you know the reason that a lot of people don't give financially? I believe it's because they've never given up in the first place. And why have they not given up? Now, I think sometimes we give up to some degree, but we just kind of have to hang on some sort of control to make sure that we got everything around us, you know, in order. Here's the reason, though, that people don't give up. It's real simple. They don't see the Lord. See, the way that you got saved was you saw God. Maybe you didn't see him with your natural eyes. I'm not talking about that. I don't think any of us probably did. But you saw his greatness. You saw his glory. You saw his power. And you saw his love. You understood that God was holy, that you were a sinner, but that God had provided a remedy for your sin. So you had an encounter with God. So you gave up. Here's the problem. That's how you receive eternal life. How do you receive abundant life? Once you receive eternal life, your salvation is secure in him by his grace, not by works, but through faith. Once you do that, how do you walk in abundant life? Listen, you see God. You have an encounter with God. I have a friend of mine, we were talking about giving financially. This happened to him. He has been very blessed financially. He has made millions of dollars. He has given millions of dollars kingdom. He's given 50% of his income for years. He's given millions, and he saved millions. He lives very conservatively. And when his daughter was young one time, she was young, and he was giving her like $5. And to her, she was real excited because that was a lot of money. He just kind of had this thought, it's not that much money. It's just $5. And then he had this thought come to him. You know, she has no idea how much money her father has. She has no idea. She has no idea how much money I have in the bank. She has no idea that I've even already provided for her future. She has no idea. If I were to show her my bank account, the number would be too large for her small mind to grasp. She couldn't even grasp it. And not only does she have no idea about my ability to bless her, she really even has no idea how much I desire to bless her. And so he's thinking this. She doesn't have any clue how much ability and how much desire I have to bless her. And while he's thinking it, the Holy Spirit said to him, neither do you. And he said to him, son, if I were to show you my accounts, it would be too large for your small mind to comprehend. And you really don't even have any clue my ability to bless you. Nor do you really understand how much I desire to bless you. That's really why we don't give. Because we say, you just don't understand. I mean, God, the economy we're in. And you don't understand my employer. And you don't understand the company I work for. And God's up there thinking, you don't get it from them. You get it from me. You're my child. I provide for you. If you'll just give me the opportunity to provide for you. Now, how do we get to that place, though? We have to give up. Okay, how do you give up? Listen, you have to have an encounter with God. Do you know that you have a chance, now not even to mention, although I'm going to mention it, you have a chance to have an encounter with God every day, but let me just tell you an obvious one. You have a chance to have an encounter with God every week. Every time we come to church, that's what it's really about. I hope you understand, it's really not about the sermon you're going to hear, whether you like it or not. It's about whether you have an encounter with God or not. And is it possible that Satan knows that you could have an encounter with God, so he does everything he can to ruin your day before you get here? Let me say it another way. This is why you have a fight on the way to church. Let me say it another way. This is why you have to spank the children on the way to church. Don't make me come back there. You don't want me to come back there. Or did you ever hear that? You don't want me to stop this car. Did you ever hear that one? My dad said that one time, and I don't know why. He said, you don't want me to stop this car. And it just popped out of my mouth before I could even, you know, I was just stupid. I said, I don't care whether you stop the car or not. Well, I did care a few minutes later. My parents believed in spanking. You know, a funny story, my two boys, Josh and James, they go to two stores just for fun. Now, some of you men will relate to this. They go to Bass Pro and Home Depot just for fun. They don't buy anything. They just walk around. I don't know why. Of course, my wife goes to the mall for fun, same way. Okay, so they were at Home Depot. They came and told me this story just a few months ago. They're at Home Depot, and they hear this child talking, and they round the corner, and they see the parents walking about 5 feet in front of this child, and they're mad. And you can tell they're mad. And I mean, they're mad. And this child's like 4 to 5 years old, but he's talking like an adult. And this is what he says. He says, guys, can we just talk about this? He said, I think if we could talk about it, we could work it out. And they're just walking. And then all of a sudden, he says to him, guys, I've been thinking. You're tired of spanking me. I'm tired of getting spankings. So let's just talk about it. And when they were going around the aisle, he said to him, guys, stop just for a minute and let's talk. Okay. Why do things like that happen, though, on Sunday morning when we're getting ready for church? Is it possible that Satan knows that you could have an encounter like Isaiah did? You could see God in His glory and His power, and your life could forever be changed. See, the reason that many believers don't walk in abundant life, they have eternal life, but they don't walk in abundant life, is because they stop having encounters with God. So we have to give up. Here's number two. We have to give in. We have to give in. Now, giving in my opinion, refers to seeing ourselves. We give up to God. We give in on the inside. Let me say it another way. I don't know if you noticed this, but I said Isaiah had kind of three visions and a vision: upward vision, inward vision, outward vision. But actually, on the second one here, he had two visions. Let me say it another way. He saw himself in two ways. He first saw himself unclean, and then he saw himself clean. Can I tell you that that's what God wants to do every time we meet with Him? Because here's what happens. The natural result when you see God is to see your sinfulness. That's the natural result. You can't see the holiness and the perfection of God without seeing your imperfections. But here's the great thing. If you confess it, then He cleanses it. See, conviction led to confession, and confession led to cleansing. Conviction, I'm saying again, conviction led to confession, confession led to cleansing. And this is the way that we come into eternal life. Eternal life, we see God, we see His gloriness, we see His holiness, we see His power, we see His love, and then we submit to Him, we see our own sinfulness, we say, God, forgive me, I can't do anything about it, and He cleanses us. That's how we get saved. That's how we come to eternal life. Okay, how do we have abundant life? We have an encounter with God. God shows us things in our lives that are not right, but He doesn't show us to make us feel bad. He shows us so we can say, God, You're right. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And He can cleanse us. That's why. This is such a great scripture that shows us what an encounter with God is like. He gave in. He said, God, I can't do it without You. Isaiah 6, verse 7, and He touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched Your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. And your sin purged. Your iniquity is taken away. I want you to notice those two words, taken away. How far was your iniquity taken away? As far as the east is from the west. It's gone. God took your iniquity away. But we have to have an encounter with God, because if we don't have that encounter with God, even as believers on a regular basis, then we walk around with this guilt and we walk around with a guilty conscience, Hebrews says. And if we don't have it cleansed or purged, our conscience, then we begin to serve God out of dead works. We try to do something to get His favor when Jesus got His favor and we receive His favor. So we have to give in. Now, giving in my opinion, refers to dying to self. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus says to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Okay, listen, you can't follow him if you don't take up your cross, which refers to dying. You can't follow Jesus if you won't die to the flesh. And you can't die to the flesh, listen, unless you deny yourself. See, so many times we say, oh, I know I'm supposed to die to the self. I know we're supposed to die to self. But, Pastor, I just don't know how to do it. Okay, here's the first step. Deny yourself. Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I've asked you a question about keys, and I'm going to ask you another question, all right? It may sound a little strange, but I want to talk about this. How many of you have ever talked to yourself? Yeah. Happens a lot, doesn't it? And has yourself ever talked to you? I felt like the Lord led me to do a fast one time, and a water fast for 3 days. And the second day, myself said to me, how long are we going? And I said to me, 3 days. And myself said to me, we're going to get a headache. So I said to me, I'm trying to keep all this straight, who's talking? I'll go 4 days. And so myself said to me, I can make it 3. You have to deny yourself. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. Sometimes you have to say to self, no. No. You're not getting your way. The Spirit is in charge here. Once you give up, you got to give in. And here's the third giving. You got to give out. This, by the way, is a natural result of an encounter with God. This is a natural result of an encounter with God. When you have an encounter with God, you want to give out. Here's what Isaiah said. Lord, here am I. Send me. Now, I want you to notice something that he did not say. He did not say, here am I. Send Pastor Robert. He didn't say, here am I, send someone else. He said, here am I, send me. And here's what we need to understand. So many times we feel like we get an opportunity to minister and we think, I need to get this person to someone more qualified than I am. Yet we don't seem to remember what qualifies us is the one who sent us. See, the important thing about this is not, when this story about Isaiah, it's not who was going, it's who was sending. You understand that God had to take up 2 chapters of the Bible arguing with Moses about this. Moses kept telling him, but God, I can't do it. And finally God said to him, I don't want you to do it. I just want you to go. I'll do it. I'll take care of it through you. So I want you to understand the same person that sent me sent you. John chapter 20, verse 21, as Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. This is everybody. The same person that sent me and empowered me sent you and empowered you. You can do it. And you only have to have 1 qualification to go out. You only have to have 1 qualification to give out. That's, you have to have an encounter with God. That's it. Matter of fact, again, it's a natural result. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. And there are actually 7 times this happened in the New Testament. You'll kind of remember the gist of this, but I'm just going to show you 2. Jesus would heal someone, and then he would tell them. He would heal them, and then he would tell them. Do you remember something he'd tell them? It seemed kind of strange, but they never did it. He'd tell them, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody that you got healed. Let me show you a couple of passages. Matthew chapter 9, 2 blind men are healed in this passage, all right? Verse 30, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them. This sternly means threatened. Jesus sternly threatened them, saying, see that no one knows it. Now, I like these transitional words in the Bible. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. Mark chapter 1, a leper gets healed. Verse 43, and he strictly warned him. Now, I don't know how this is going to fit in with your theology, but the Greek word for strictly here means threatened with violence. Now, I don't know what to do with that either. Okay, let me just tell you that. I'm just telling you what the definition was. I don't know if Jesus said to him, I'll come back and find you, pal. I don't know. But he's pretty serious about this. We got sternly and strictly. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. You know, get away. Go, go, go. I don't want the crowd coming. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Don't tell anyone. But go your way, show yourself to the priest, this is what the law required, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now watch these transitional words here in the next verse. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely. And, another transitional, and on top of that, if to make matters worse, to spread the matter. So that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. It just gets worse. Now, obviously, when I bring this up, you say, well, I don't know why he did that. Since I'm the pastor, I don't either. I tell you what I think, though. I think when you read, anytime you can't figure out a verse, remember what you're supposed to do? Read the context. So I went back and read all of Matthew 9 and all of Mark chapter 1, and I think it seemed like the Pharisees were getting angrier and angrier with him, and the crowds were coming to him more and more. And when you study the timeline, the chronology of this, it was about a year before he was going to be crucified. I think he was saying to himself, it's not time yet. And I want to heal these people, but I don't want to stir up the crowd because I know that there's going to come a time when the crowd gets stirred up and the Pharisees then get stirred up, and that's a year away, you know. So that's a possibility, but when we get to heaven, we can ask him about it. But the point is that Jesus said, don't tell anyone, and they went and told everyone. Okay, let me just ask you something. It's real simple. It's a real easy question. This man was healed of leprosy. Two men were healed of blindness. Okay, if you were healed of leprosy or blindness, would you tell anyone? You were saved from eternal damnation. Would you tell someone? No, I mean, would you tell someone? Please. Why would we not tell someone? Let me tell you why. Many of us, when we first got saved, we told everyone. Why? Because we had an encounter with God. We met God. We saw his holiness. We saw our sinfulness. Then he forgave us, cleansed us. So we went out and told everyone. Do you know why we're not telling people now? Because it's been a long time since we've had an encounter with God. Because we're coming to church, singing the songs, listening to the sermon, and leaving and not seeing God high and lifted up. Are y'all following me? This is a good sermon, by the way. If you don't know, letting you know. By the way, do you know where I got this sermon? I got it from an encounter with God. I went and spent time with God, and I got this sermon. And you say, well, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. You may not get a sermon you can preach, but you can get a sermon you can live. Boy, that was good too. You can. Maybe God hasn't called you to stand up here, but he's called you to walk out there. Right? And the only way that we can walk out there is to have an encounter in here. To have an encounter in our quiet time, to come into the presence of God and see God as powerful and mighty. We will never give up, never give in, and never give out until we see God. And I'm telling you, that's how you received eternal life, and that's how you have abundant life.